LeBron, we've made so many 23 Lakers jerseys, man. You can't do this to us.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, yeah. I sold my soul to you guys. Yeah. Welcome back to the Intentionally Foul Podcast, where nothing in sports is off limits and everything is out of bounds. Today, we're going to talk about our favorite jerseys and the players that come to mind when you think of numbers 00 through 25. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So where would you like to start? Because I think it'd be fun to start anywhere.
Yeah, I think let's start with the best uniforms.
Okay. So based off of just design or like...
Just like how you like it. Does it look cool? Design? Yeah, just anything in general.
All right. So one that comes to mind is actually one that we've been seeing a lot recently. And that's the Vancouver Grizzlies jersey. It just looks really clean. It kind of sucks that the Vancouver Grizzlies themselves were kind of a shitty team and they had to leave right away.
Yeah.
But I give Memphis a lot of respect for bringing them back out.
Yeah, I really love those jerseys, like the turquoise color.
Yeah.
Is like perfect. And like the other day, they were facing the Jazz. That's another one. Like the 1990 Jazz that has the mountains on it, the purple ones. Those are prime.
Right. And then even going back to Memphis, they were the Memphis Sound for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like many, many decades ago. And I think it was like the old Grizzlies with Vince Carter, like that kind of period.
Yeah.
Jerseys for whatever reason. It's super random, but I got to give them credit there.
Yeah. I really love the brand new Los Angeles Charger jerseys.
Yeah. The team is not really in the spotlight for quarterback. You know, the list goes on.
Yeah. And the I think the fact that they have, like, I don't know if you've seen it, but those, like, dark blue ones are by far the best. I mean, yeah, the powder blue are pretty good, but the dark blue ones are, like, a perfect, like, color rush, per se.
That's going to look sick.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I'm a really big fan of the Saints jerseys, mostly because of that golden black. Looks really... nice, smooth, looks threatening too, but cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would be saying this if I was not a Patriots fan, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
But they've always just looked good.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but just throughout their entire team history, just red, white, and blue. Like, that's a pretty damn good combination.
Yeah. My favorite Patriots jersey is probably like the red throwbacks.
Yeah.
Those ones are really nice.
Yeah, back when they were the Boston Patriots, but it's nice that they threw those back out because the Boston Patriots were not that great of a team. They weren't for a while, but now you finally get to see them, you know, do something in the jerseys because they just were like useless for a little while, I guess.
Yeah. What, have you ever seen the Cowboys jerseys? I know we talk a lot of shit about the Cowboys here, but they had like Color Rush jerseys that they have the stars on the shoulders.
Yeah, the Cowboys jerseys for the Color Rush games look pretty dank. The Cowboys, they know how to market. They know how to look cool.
Yeah.
Their stadium and their playing style, I guess, is like kind of flashy. And their uniforms are just also very cool. It's a really good mix for something to look good, even if they aren't playing good. I'm not saying the Cowboys have always been bad.
Yeah.
But when they're playing great, they look cool as hell. And when they're playing bad, they still look just regular cool.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. I'd agree. Their city uniform kind of like flips the switch on that and completely makes it like, what do they have? What are they? Dark green with like golden or something?
Yeah, it's like Celtic style text. Oh, yeah. Like a font. Yeah.
That's right.
Like the black and green ones. I've never really thought those were too good.
Yeah.
But it's the right combo. You know, you need the right combo.
Yeah. Speaking of like green, I think that the Seattle Seahawks color rush, even though a lot of people like don't like it because it's really highlighter green, I actually like it a lot.
Yeah, that one's not so bad. I feel like if I was watching the game super hungover, then it might hurt my eyes.
Yeah,
but probably. When I'm not, it looks fine. That's really the only complaint I can reach for.
Yeah. I also really love the Miami Heat Vice jerseys.
Okay, yeah, I can't even believe I didn't think of that until now. But they play really well whenever they put the jerseys on.
Yeah, and the court that comes with it is always super sick too.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true. I feel like people are kind of forgetting that version of Miami now.
Yeah,
which is such a shame.
Yeah,
but yeah, those are one of my top three jerseys, I'd say, in the NBA today.
Yeah, we have to talk about the Yankee pinstripe. The white pinstripes are by far the most iconic jersey in the MLB, for sure.
I can't deny that.
Yeah.
You know, like, even people who don't even think of baseball, they think of the pinstripe jersey.
Yeah. I mean, the Red Sox jersey is pretty famous, too.
It captures kind of an era in baseball that needs to kind of stick around and, like...
Yeah. It's more like a tradition kind of thing. Do you have any college football ones? I got a few here.
Well, okay. The Michigan one is mostly just for the helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. And you notice it. You notice like when like high schoolers, like they take it and they put it on their helmet. You're like, oh, they took that from Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of like the Ohio State Buckeyes. Like that's such a traditional one.
Right.
But I think the stickers on the helmet is so cool. And I just like, because we had that in my high school where we had stickers for like, say you got a fumble in the game or something, you got a touchdown in the game, you got to get one of those stickers on your helmet.
I still don't even understand the stickers for Ohio State. I've just never bought
it. Yeah, I think those guys, like, there's almost like no rules to it because they have a full helmet of stickers immediately as the season starts. So I have no idea what the hell is going on with that.
Yeah, I really couldn't tell you. Some other ones that come to mind. Okay, so I really like the Texas A&M ones.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly just because it just looks very bold.
Mm-hmm.
And like they kind of mean business. I think the whole Johnny Football thing helped out with that a little bit. But they've been pretty consistent with their uniforms, and I don't really see them changing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then like same goes with like other Texas football teams like UT. You know, that's going to stay the same for the mm-hmm. most part. And one other one that I'm going to throw in there is the Florida State jerseys.
Okay.
Just because, like, gold with really anything was going to look good.
Yeah, especially, like, a dark red.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
I really love the Clemson Tigers, like, orange and purple. I really love their purple ones. Apparently they only wear orange pants whenever they're going for like a title or something like that.
Huh.
And I had no idea until they had posted that on their Instagram like earlier this summer, I think. But apparently that was just a thing that they just started, and the purples are super sick.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember if we said this earlier, but Clemson, I'm all in for Clemson next year, and it's going to look pretty damn cool.
Yeah. My final one, I really love the LSU. They have purple tops and the white bottoms and a white helmet. Like those ones, that's just so slick, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I think LSU is always going to kill it when it comes to that. I'm not even that big of a fan of combining purple with a lot of other colors, but, you know, like with the Lakers and LSU, you know, doing purple gold.
And the Vikings.
That works, you know, because it's gold, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, it's like the perfect combination. Like you see that in sports almost more than any other color, I feel like, besides like blue and red.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, I got to give credit where it's due there. So, I really need to talk about some jersey numbers, because it's almost like you think of a player sometimes and you think of a number, vice versa. It happens to every sports fan, I feel like. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm all for it. So, you want to kick this off?
For double zero, I would have to go Melo and Robert Parrish.
Yeah, for me, Robert Parrish. I can't give Melo the credit. Because, I mean, when you think of Melo, you're going to think of 7 or you're going to think of 15.
Yeah.
So, I just identify him with that. If he goes down as a Trailblazers legend somehow.
I mean, hey, he's been pretty clutch so far.
Yeah, then sure, whatever. But, I mean, he's not going to be any Robert Parrish. But I could definitely understand where you're coming from there. Regular zero. You can pick between Jason Tatum, you can pick between Westbrook, Lillard, okay, obviously I'm going to be, I could be biased and say Tatum, but Lillard's been around longer and so has Westbrook. They've done a lot with their careers so far.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to those two, I'm going to pick Lillard.
Okay.
Just because head to head, they, you know, Lillard always comes out on top somehow.
Yeah. I would probably pick Russell for zero. And we can't forget Gilbert Arenas, Agent Zero.
Yeah, dude. The best shooter on and off the court.
Yeah. Kevin Love is weirdly zero for the Cavs. I just thought that was really weird.
Yeah, yeah. He's a dark horse zero for sure.
And so, yeah, either Russell or Lillard for zero by far.
Yeah, it definitely comes to mind. With number one, man, I feel like it's Derrick Rose for me.
Okay.
I can't not think of Derrick Rose when it comes to number one.
I would probably pick T-Mac. An honorable mention, I would have to pick Devin Booker. He has been so clutch in the bubble lately. I swear to God. I know that last week we said that the Spurs or the Grizzlies would take the AC. But I swear to God, the Suns might now.
I think I jinxed the Grizzlies because the night of when I said that, I think Jaren Jackson Jr. got fucking injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take that one back. I'd love to see the Suns just because of D-Book, but I'd also love to see the Blazers because Lillard. Just talk about him. So what do you got for number two?
Probably Derek Jeter or Kyrie Irving. I mean, there are a few others like Kawhi. And yes, we are talking about NASCAR. Rusty Wallace. I didn't know this, but Moses Malone was two?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the most accomplished two, I'd say, you know, in basketball for sure. But only because, like, you know, I'm never got to see him really on TV or play. I got to go with that.
It's hard growing up. You hear more about Karl Malone than Moses Malone. They're either cousins or brothers, right?
Somewhat related. I don't think they were brothers, but there had to be some relation there.
Yeah, but you know more about Karl Malone than Moses Malone. But I don't know why.
Maybe just like recency. Could be that. Number three. Man, this is hard. This one's really hard, actually. But CP3 is obviously going to come to mind. Allen Iverson's going to come to mind. And then Russell Wilson. You can't forget about.
Oh, yeah. You can't forget about him. CP3. The three is in his name. It's just destiny.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go with CP3 just because, like what you said, it's in his name.
Also, for me, it's either Dwayne Wade or Babe Ruth for me at three.
Yeah. Dwayne Wade's three is pretty iconic.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a bad one either.
We also can't forget about Candace Parker or Diana Taurasi, two WNBA legends.
Yeah, dude, your WNBA knowledge as far surpasses mine, but I'm going to have to give it a little more of a shot. All right, so who do you have for number four?
I think I have Brett Favre.
Yeah, Brett Favre is pretty untouchable at number four.
When you think of four, the number, you think of Brett Favre.
Yeah, definitely. As far as my number fours go, I mean, you can't really think of much as far as basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Joe Dumars, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of mostly it.
That's about it. Besides Lou Gehrig and Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
Legendary NHL player.
Right. So, out of bias, I would go with Orr, of course, but out of respect, I gotta go with Brett Favre.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Moving on to number five, more bias, Kevin Garnett.
On the Celtics?
Yeah, the Celtics, Kevin Garnett, obviously. And as far as like other number fives go, you can't really think of too many other players, really. It's like a low-key number.
Yeah, like five, when only other person that I can think of when it comes to five is like Albert Pujols or like Donovan McNabb. That's about it. I know there's like some hidden ones like Joe DiMaggio and shit, but you don't really think about them because like that's so far in the past.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'd really have to do some research to kind of think about those ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also have Teddy B too. Teddy Bridgewater, Minnesota Viking, he was five, and now at Carolina, he's five.
I'm glad that he's sticking with five, and I'm glad that he's starting too.
Yeah.
Very, very glad about that. Moving on to number six, more biased statements. Bill Russell for me.
I think no matter what, I think he is the best. Like, yeah, you also have Dr. J, and you have LeBron when he was on the Heat and during the Olympics.
Yeah, with LeBron, people remember him more for 23, of course, but I mean, his best seasons arguably were when he was wearing six.
Yeah. I mean, did he win like MVP multiple times?
Dude, he could have been MVP literally every year he was on the Heat, but obviously of those years where D-Rose won it, you know, because D-Rose was, you know, the new thing, like hot shit that year. And then KD was hot shit the year that he won it.
Yeah.
But LeBron was the number two option for all those years, for sure. I mean, dude, would you rather have 2013 LeBron or any other version? Like,
I think either 2013 LeBron or 2015 LeBron when he was on the Cavs back, like for the first time.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those are all great. I like how LeBron picked number six as an alternative because he wanted to do 23, of course, but he had that retired for Michael Jordan out of respect.
Yep.
And the Dr. J tribute works perfectly. I think it actually works better than MJ just because of the type of player they are as far as size and just overall play style goes. With MJ, it's more just like volume scoring. With Dr. J, it's more just like dunking. Yeah. Athleticism, like all around type play. So I was glad to see that. It's a good second option. So who do you got for number seven?
Number seven, Ronald. Oh my god. Number seven, I have Ronaldo and Michael Vick. Regardless of what happened off the field and stuff, he still was this crazy athlete on the field.
Yeah, for number seven, I love Michael Vick. And who doesn't like Ronaldo except Messi fanboys, you know? Ronaldo's seven jersey is definitely the most popular and most sold jersey on the planet right now.
Yeah.
So that just says for itself how massive of a player and athlete and person he is just based off that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you also have Pistol Pete, you know, the late Pistol Pete, legendary highlights, legendary player. Michael Vick, of course, we all remember him for number seven. But when he was doing his little Steelers run where he had to go in and play games, I rooted for him then because, look, it's Michael Vick, man. You just try to ignore everything else when it comes to him.
I'm pretty sure, wasn't he like one or like three for the Steelers?
He was a single-digit number that was lower than five, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was one of those, I think.
Yeah, I can't really recall.
You also can't forget about KD on the Nets. He now has seven. Yeah, he hasn't played at all, but, you know, he still has the popularity of a guy like LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. KD hasn't even played a game yet, and his jerseys have sold how many different, like, I really wish I could look up the jersey stills for that right now, because Nets fans everywhere were just probably so relieved to hear that.
Yeah.
Him coming along. And no matter what happens with the Nets this playoffs, you know, they're going to make it just because the gap between 8 and 9 in the East is so wide.
Yeah.
They really don't even care at this point what happens, because no Kyrie or no KD. It's all just going to be about next year. It's all about making the role players better this year.
Yeah, I saw a crazy stat that if the Nets do make the playoffs, KD's contract is sent up to where he'd get $1 million as an incentive for making the playoffs.
That's
so nuts. If they don't make the playoffs, which they probably won't, then he's not going to get that $1 million.
Wow. Yeah, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
But all eyes on KD. Number eight. First player that comes to mind in a lot of people's minds has got to be Kobe.
Yeah.
You know, first half of his career, number two option Kobe, but also 81 points in a game Kobe.
Yeah.
Lots of legendary shit. Lob to Shaq Kobe.
Yeah.
But as far as number eight goes as a whole, there isn't much else there, which is kind of surprising because you'd think there would be.
Yeah. The only other, like, really solid players I can think of are, like, Troy Aikman, Steve Young, and Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah.
Those guys are like legends too.
With Aikman, he's definitely the football number eight that everyone would think of.
Yeah. And now eight in the football world is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Lamar has just stepped on the scene. He's already done a lot. And I think he's going to end his career with Hall of Fame numbers if he stays healthy. I mean, a guy who moves around, you know, that much, you really can't afford to get injured at all.
Yeah.
But if his arm gets better, then sky's the limit for that guy.
Yeah. Let's hope that he can actually make it there. I know I made a prediction that he's not going to win a Super Bowl, but I would love for him to prove me wrong.
I mean, Cowherd says they're going to go 16-0 next year. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
That's right.
Yeah. Number nine. Gotta go with my man, Tony Parker, on the Spurs. He was the ultimate sidekick for Tim Duncan.
100%.
Bread and butter, pretty much. TP9 was the nickname. Obviously not as big as CP3, but hey, like nothing is CP3, so.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
When I think of nine, I think of Drew Brees.
Yeah, Drew Brees is a damn good one. Damn good one. Because just every time I see him in that jersey, like we were just talking about how the Saints jerseys are sick, right?
Yeah.
Like the nine with the combination of the jersey colors is just fitting for some reason.
I just think it looks so nice.
Yeah.
Like it looks right, honestly.
Right. As far as Drew Brees' performance this year, what do you think is going to happen? He had a pretty damn good year last year, but what do you think?
I think it's going to be a pretty solid year again, just not at the high level that it was last year. I think it will be like a pretty above average, just not like superstar level.
Yeah, I could see that. But I could see them in the Super Bowl if everything goes right. It's just the NFC is really hard to figure out now.
And their division themselves.
Yeah, that's really hard. We've talked so much about that division. I just can't anymore. Number 10. Yeah, going to have to go with Rodman on the Pistons.
Okay.
You know, before he was dyeing his hair.
Yeah, that's a solid one. He won championship. He was, defensive player of the year, right?
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Like, literally, like, he was crazy and then crazier.
Yeah, it got crazier because of the Bulls and Carmen Electra.
Oh, yeah, we could go on and on about that.
Yeah.
Like, from God.
My 10, I'm going with either Messi or Fran Tarkenton with a dark horse of Eli Manning.
Yeah, Eli is definitely the dark horse in that. And as far as Messi goes, it's pretty easy to throw it in there with the Ronaldo thing about his jersey just being sold all over the place. Because, look, man, as far as GOAT convos go between players, we're not really going to get a better one than Messi, Ronaldo, because those guys are playing at the same time.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare. It's really rare. But yeah, worldwide, it's got to be Messi. For nostalgia, I'm just going to pick Robin. And for weird Super Bowls, Eli Manning. Moving on, number 11, I got to go with Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
He's going to be great this year. If he can stay healthy, he always has like some bullshit happen to him if he's juicing up or if he gets hurt. He really can't take much more of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Julian Edelman is the number 11 pick for me.
For me, it's either the old Isaiah Thomas or Yao Ming.
Yeah, those two guys are great picks because Isaiah Thomas is a psycho. He looks super nice, sounds super nice, acts super nice, but all that's off the court.
Yeah.
As soon as you get on the court, he turns into a complete beast, just as a person and as a player.
Or an asshole.
Or, yeah, just a complete asshole in combination with that. Like, I remember at one point he choked his coach out because he was so pissed off that someone hit him in the face. Like,
yeah. And then he left, and then all the Pistons left while they were losing to the Bulls.
Yeah, that was the biggest bitch move in NBA history until KG joined the Warriors.
Yeah.
Probably.
And then Michael Jordan took it personally, like everything else.
Yeah, so he wanted to drop 60 on his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, number 11 is pretty good. What was the other one you had in there?
I had Yao Ming.
Okay, yeah. What the hell? I still can't believe Yao Ming actually happened.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. But hey, I'm just glad to see what, you know, we could before he, you know, got injured a lot and had to leave.
Yeah, it was bound to happen. I feel like someone of that stature, it's just bound to happen.
Yeah, you can't hold up that much longer. Moving on. One of the best numbers on here, number 12. For obvious reasons, just the QB.
Yeah, it's got to be a QB number. because the QBs dominate this number.
Yeah, you have Brady, of course, and then you have Rodgers. You have Staubach, just to name a few.
Yeah, you also have Joe Namath and Terry Bradshaw, Kenny Stabler. There's just so many of them.
Right, and the thing with number 12 is I feel like it's a number that some amazing QB in the future is going to keep wearing, you know, like just out of respect for the guys who came before.
Yeah, 100% agree. You also got to talk about, like, with this, with basketball, you also have John Stockton, too.
Yeah, with Stockton, all-time assists and steals leader, pretty available for all of his career. I think he only missed, like, a handful of games.
Yeah.
Him and CP3 are the best point guards to never win a championship. I mean, we still don't know if CP3 is going to get it done at some point. Because he still has time left, and he looks pretty strong this season, but the only thing really stopping Stockton was, you know, the greatest shooting guard ever.
Yeah.
You know, and some would say top one player, some would say top two player. It's not going below top two, okay? Yeah. Like, and then a top two, maybe top one greatest coach of all time. And in my opinion, the best wingman of all time with Scotty.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's getting in his way.
Like, yeah, otherwise, they would have won the championship.
Yeah, and then fucking Rodman, who we were just talking about, happened to be against him, too. You know, that's so tough. So tough. So he would have won it really any other time, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Moving on to unlucky number 13. actually, some really damn good players on here. Wilt Chamberlain is definitely going to come to mind because we've talked about him before, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then Steve Nash, because he's probably the smoothest point guard in terms of, like, motor skills.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, have you seen him play soccer?
Yeah, it's crazy how good he is.
Yeah, he's very, very coordinated. And if you want to get into complete douchebags who wear rollies on the field, we could talk about Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, we could. That's right. Odell Ramen Noodles.
Yeah, he's got to do something about that.
Well, it was way worse back in the Giants days, but he's, like, somewhat controlled it now.
Yeah, he's a little more humble now that he's on the Browns.
Yeah.
I mean, with the New York market, okay, look, you're going to be a little cocky because, like, the Giants, you can go out, do whatever. The Giants are definitely more successful than the Browns.
Yeah.
The Browns are just kind of the prime example of, you have the pieces, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah, that's true.
And he doesn't want to see as a piece that isn't working.
Yeah.
And that's got to be really frustrating, too.
I just couldn't imagine the pressure that he puts on himself because of that situation.
Yeah. I hope he stays because I think it's going to drive him insane. But I also hope he leaves because his career needs to take off.
When I think of also related to 13 and New York, you can't forget A-Rod was 13 as well. And you also have James Harden and Kurt Warner and Dan Marino.
Yeah, we got a lot of juicers on this list. Yeah, Dan Marino, man. The Deshaun Watson before Deshaun Watson. Quite a legendary QB. But, Harden's been doing great things recently. I think it's awesome that he's stuck with 13, going from OKC to Houston. I actually don't even remember if he was 13 or not at Arizona State. But
I think it was somewhere. I think it was that, or like a 20 number.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he rocks it. He rocks it for sure. Moving on to number 14. This is my weirdest pick because I'm going to say Danny Green, of all people. It makes no sense, but it does, because back when the Spurs made their last title run, you know, in 2014, I was watching every game because the Celtics were horrible that year. You know, they weren't in the playoffs, but I wasn't going to just, like, not watch the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I had to watch some sort of basketball, and the Spurs were the hot team going in that year. And I don't really know. I feel like I had to really just focus on something. All right, so moving on to number 14. This is my weirdest pick because it's none other than Danny Green. And the story behind this is really weird. But back in 2014, when the Spurs made their last title run, the Celtics weren't in the playoffs that year. They were in rebuild mode for a little bit. And I wasn't just going to not watch basketball. So I had to pick some team to, you know, root for. and dethrone the Heat, because I always think the champion getting dethroned is pretty amazing, or like pretty fun to watch. Even though I like LeBron, I wanted to see them get their revenge tour, you know?
Yeah.
So I was watching every game the Spurs were playing out of pure boredom, and which eventually turned into out of pure excitement. But Danny Green was pretty efficient at the entire run. He had some great games. He had some games where he did nothing, but he was starting, you know? Mm. So and he's playing a decent number of minutes. So I saw a lot of Danny Green, and it's just always engraved in my brain at this point that whenever I see 14, I'm going to think of Danny Green of all people.
Hmm. That's so weird. I have the same thing too. Like with Diggs. Yeah. He's not like the biggest name, but I think of him as 14, and 14 is Diggs, no matter who or what like gets introduced to me.
Right. I mean, you could also think of Red Rocket, TCU legend, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
But I ain't gonna.
I don't really have much to say. I think, I forget who said it. I think, pretty sure it was Shannon Sharp, said it was car insurance for Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Like, you don't necessarily like want to use it, but like it's nice to have.
Yeah,
he might have to this year.
Yeah. Speaking of 14, like I also have another one, Pete Rose. You know, he's a little fuck off the field, but you know, he put up some solid numbers in his career.
What's up with the lack of likable baseball players, man?
I don't know. Is baseball easy to manipulate? Like, is that why most people don't like them? Is because they can find little loopholes that can get them to cheat? Like, is it more cheatable than any other sport?
I don't know. You should ask the Astros, dude.
Yeah.
As far as number 15 goes, obviously, you're going to think of half man, half amazing when you see this. Because, dude, who hasn't watched the dunk contest at least 300 times?
Yeah, Vincennity was fucking crazy.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
I mean, you also can't forget about Dustin Pedroia, Jokic, and Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes is the hot shit right now. Probably sold the most jerseys for the NFL last year. Wouldn't even surprise me if he did. Yeah. He's kind of like the golden boy right now. Like, the only thing you can make fun of him for is just not even, like, his fault. Because he has a funny voice. All right, whatever. It happens. He has a girlfriend that, like, kind of seems annoying to some people. All right, yeah. Whatever. And then his brother's, like, TikTok famous. But it's, like, really nothing he can do about it.
He's only TikTok famous because he is Patrick Mahomes' brother. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and no one even wants to say it, especially not to his face. But
yeah. That's why we're saying it on the podcast.
Yeah, I hope he tunes in. Really random. I think of Chris Hogan, too.
Okay.
He looks like a psycho on the field. Really nice guy, I mean, but I haven't heard much of him since he left the Patriots. But.
Yeah, I also think of Melo, the OG 15 at the Nuggets.
Yeah, Melo, I can't even believe people thought he was washed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still making some pretty clutch shots. Like, and if you rewind and look at his rookie highlights even, or like early Nuggets ones, you know, he's still got it to an extent. He hasn't completely become washed up, though.
Yeah, he's not much of a flasher as he used to be, or a slasher, I mean. But, like, he can still shoot, like, solid.
Yeah. Yeah, I just can't even believe everyone thought that his NBA career was, like, done at one point. Dude, like, it makes no sense to me.
Still the funniest thing from him is that one time, I'm pretty sure it was at a Nets game, where the ball bounced to him, and he pretended to shoot, and, like, the whole crowd went crazy. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. We were just talking about this the other day, but Melo and his signature... Fuck out of here, I got it.
Yeah.
Rebounding, even with no fans or anything, and just a completely silent bubble arena.
Yeah, still doing it.
You can still say it. And everyone's going to hear him too, because no noise.
Yeah.
But he was actually out of the NBA longer than Roberson was, I'm pretty sure, because he was injured. So don't let anyone tell you that you're done.
Yeah.
All right? You don't need to hear that shit. Number 16, who do you got?
I have Joe Montana. 100%.
Definitely the GOAT, 16.
Yeah.
You know, why? I don't know why Brady didn't pick 16, pick 12 instead, because he always looked up to Montana, you know? But with 16, I feel like there needs to be another one, like a big one.
I mean, they have, 16 also has Brett Hall too, legendary Red Wings hockey player. Mm. So there's like two that I can think of, but there's like no one else.
Yeah, and it's weird. Do you think there would be more after sports have been around this long?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Moving on to 17, Chris Mullin comes to mind. I actually went to high school with Chris Mullin's like kid. Do you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, he Chris Mullin Jr. He looks just like him.
With the flat top? And
no, that'd actually be fucking hilarious. But no, he just had like a regular haircut.
Oh, okay.
And he was a good basketball player. But I don't know what happened to him after that. But I don't remember if he came onto campus to watch him.
Hmm.
And if he did, I definitely would have remembered it, you know.
Yeah. You also got to think about Phillip Rivers and Devonta Adams when you think about like 17.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers, such a hard player to assess. I'm sure he's a great guy, nice Catholic guy,
yeah.
But dude, 9 kids, like what the hell are you doing?
Dude, he's going to have a full-ass football team by the time that he's like 50. And he's only got like, I don't know, 8 years left? Just kidding, he ain't that old. But like, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. When he was about to leave the Chargers, like, okay, we were watching that Vikings game together.
Yeah.
You know, when they played the Chargers and they were just completely falling apart.
Yeah, 5 turnovers.
Yeah. And at that point, I just told myself, look, man, just give it up. You have kids to spend time with.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, they're waiting for you. They're watching you on TV through all these picks.
Yeah.
And they're looking away and then shielding their eyes or going to the bathroom just because they don't even have to go. They just say, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom because they don't want to see you throw picks.
Or they're also going out to the fucking farm and milking cows or something because they have so many goddamn kids.
Yeah. You got to let them run free, man. Kids cannot survive in like a house like that. I'm glad they moved to Indy. Because there's some farmland over there,
mm-hmm.
and you just gotta not keep your kids cooped up, and then, you know, let them do their own thing, because trying to keep track of 9 in the same place, too difficult.
Yeah, I don't know if Phillip Rivers' wife is a stay-at-home mom, but I feel like she is, and she just has, like, side projects.
Side project is having more kids.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, moving on from old Phil Rivers. Number 18, who you got?
Peyton Manning and Phil Jackson back in the day.
Yeah, fucking Phil Jackson and the Sheriff. Two legends, of course. Look, man, I'm not just going to shit on Peyton Manning because I'm a Brady fan. I give respect where it's due, okay? He was something different. If you look at efficiency stats, he's up there. He's at the top. His MVP seasons are pretty untouchable. His last MVP season is just insane what he did. You know, I can't remember the exact number of touchdowns
mm-hmm.
he threw, but okay, that's not going to be done for quite a while. And as far as Phil Jackson goes as a player, I've heard some interesting stories. I actually read his book, 13 Rings, and he said that when he was a player, he could open up each car door by sitting in the middle of the back seat. Because his arms were so long. And you don't really realize how big of a guy he is because he's always next to people like Shaq.
Yeah, that's you know? Crazy. I could never do that.
Right. Yeah, but I don't know. You'd think 18 would have a few more, but they don't really.
Like AJ Green, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, he had some good years for sure. But moving on, I'm going to go with Willis Reed at 19.
Okay. Legend. Fucking goes off. Almost breaks his ass, breaks his knee, goes into the locker room, comes out game 6, and the Knicks win the world championships at the time, the NBA finals.
Yeah. The Knicks, I can't even believe that's actually like a sentence you can say because it's been so long for the Knicks, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's definitely a more slept on player. Like with all these old school Knicks players, like of course, Phil Jackson is on that team too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to go back and look at some of those games and read about those because I haven't done enough of that. But just legendary stories from what I've heard.
Yeah. You also have Johnny Unitas, too, at 19.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Really good one. Moving on to number 20, you have a lot of good picks here. Some that come to mind immediately are, you know, Gary Payton and Barry Sanders, Ginobili, and Gordon Hayward even.
Mm-hmm. I think Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, like with Hayward, he picked it because of Ginobili.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which would make sense, because I mean, still Gordon's still pretty young. Ginobili's very old, you know. Mm-hmm. The glove. All right, man. Look, I gotta rant for a second.
Okay.
Because in The Last Dance, you saw the episode where he had to go up against Gary Payton, right?
Yeah.
And he said the glove wasn't a problem for me.
Yeah.
Okay, if you compare the numbers between the games where he was guarding Michael Jordan before and after, people act like there was no difference.
Yeah, there was a huge difference.
There was a huge difference. And, like, Michael Jordan is unguardable, okay? Which makes sense. So, like, to say that he wasn't a problem for you, I get it, dude. But let's not just throw Gary Payton in the trash, okay?
Yeah.
Put some respect on the guy's name.
Yeah, he was defensive player of the year multiple times.
Yeah, well, we were talking about Chris Paul earlier and how he still has a chance to win a ring. Okay, I felt bad. I feel bad for the guy. But I think that he could pull a Gary Payton at some point way later in his career, because Gary Payton came so close so many times to winning it. And the only time he won the ring was when he was on the Heat,
mm-hmm.
just like behind D Wade, like a huge star at the time.
Yeah.
So if super late into Chris Paul's career, he wants to do the same thing just to get a ring and then go out like that, like, okay, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to see something like that happen.
I mean, you also got to think about Ray Allen, Ed Reed, Brian Dawkins, and another one of our juicers, allegedly Frank Robinson.
Yeah, you cannot forget these juicers, man.
That's the theme of this episode, juicers.
Yeah, we could honestly do a juicers list and rank them, but hey,
maybe next time.
Maybe next time, man. Yeah, but 2020 is a more low key, not even low key, but just underrated number in my book. And then we're moving on to my favorite number 21, because of course Tim Duncan and Garnett are on this, and then Zeke even. And then all my, like, random favorite players, like Wilson Chandler or, like, Shumpert back when he was on the Knicks. Like, I like watching those guys, like, Chandler on the Nuggets, Shumpert on the Knicks, etc.
You also can't forget about, like, LT, too. LT made number 21 legendary. That's probably why Zeke wanted to pick 21.
Yeah, it's pretty likely that Zeke is a huge LT fan. You know, obviously, I wouldn't even put it, say, arguably. Definitely the best TCU alum that ever came out. I'm sorry, Andy Dalton, but you're no LT.
True. And you also have Deion Sanders, too, at 21.
Yeah, yeah. It's some goat shit, man, if you got a 21 on your jersey. I'd just love to see it. Another great number, 22. For me, Elgin Baylor is going to be the top pick for this.
Yeah, 22 I feel like has some pretty solid legends. Like, you have Clyde Drexler. Clayton Kershaw is going to go down as probably one of the best pitchers. Then you also have Emmett Smith, too, and Harrison Smith of the Vikings. He'll be a fucking legend when he retires. He's already up there right now. And then, yeah, that's about it.
You can't forget Jimmy Butler on the Miami Heat, man.
True.
Like, we've said this so many times. This is not a Jimmy Butler fan podcast, okay? He just comes up a lot, trust us. But he's the mentor of these youngins on the Heat.
Yeah.
He's the second coach of the team. And then 23.
Probably the most influential number of all sports. Like, if you think about it, 23 is probably the most influential. Like, when you play high school, like, a lot of people want to pick 23. That's always the first jersey to go.
Yeah, 23, just, okay, I know I was just fucking around and saying 21 is some goat shit, but if you really goat shit is 23,
yeah.
Okay, like, if we're going to be serious for a second, because we have the two clear-cut best basketball players we've ever seen wearing 23.
Arguably.
Right? Yeah, and you have David Beckham, I think, said that he picked 23 because of Mike Jordan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
So he's one of the greats, too. And like we've said with LeBron, you know, he wanted to be 23, but look, man, the whole reason he wants to be 23 is because of Mike, too.
Yeah.
So that just shows you how influential it is. Like, LeBron knew he was going to be hot shit. You know, I feel like Beckham knew he was going to be hot shit when he's picking his numbers.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be complete ass playing a sport and then wear Michael Jordan's number.
Yeah,
that's, you know, true. It just doesn't make any sense.
You also got to remember that AD, Anthony Davis, was 23 in New Orleans.
Right. And then I remember when the whole Lakers thing happened, he said he wanted to be 23. And it was either he said he wanted to be 23 or LeBron said, hey, you can have 23, be nice about it. But then Nike was like, LeBron, we've made so many 23 Lakers jerseys, man. You can't do this to us.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, yeah. I sold my soul to you guys. Yeah. Okay, I guess you're right. Yeah. So AD is 3 now. And then LeBron is, you know, old 23. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know if he would have picked 6 because the Lakers have so many retired numbers. I can't even confirm that. That's just what happens when you're an old franchise. But, yeah, 23 is 23 is up there, man. It's definitely a top 2 number for me.
You also got to remember that Devin Hester was a 23. I mean, yeah, is he not the biggest superstar ever? Probably. But was he the best kick returner in NFL history? I think so. Like, the Super Bowl return that he had against the Colts, probably one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with classic sports highlights, that's up there as something that someone's seen over and over and over again. It's like up there with the Marshawn run, you know?
Or the like the James Harrison pickoff at the 1 yard line and takes it back for a touchdown.
Yeah,
like that one is pretty crazy up there too.
Right. I cannot stand Super Bowls where nothing exciting happens.
Yeah,
and like, I know I'm one to talk really because like. The last Patriots Super Bowl where they won was incredibly boring.
Probably the most boring game I've ever watched.
If you like defense, sure. Like, that's up your alley. And if the Patriots weren't even in that game, I probably would have shut it off halfway through. But the Patriots were in the game, so I didn't.
I was almost going to turn it off, but I was like, eh, something might happen.
It doesn't make any sense why that game was so boring when the rest of them have been so exciting.
Yeah.
But whatever. Let's hope that this Super Bowl, if it happens, you know, when expected, that something is going to, you know, really just blow us away again.
Yeah. I feel like the NFL and the people and like American fans or just like fans in general. I mean, mostly American fans because we're still the only ones quarantined. But like we need that more than any other like thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I forget who I said this to the other day, but good thing the Super Bowl happened when it did. Like, imagine if COVID shut everything down right before the final game.
Oh, shit.
And then the Super Bowl had to be played with no fans. Or, like, we were in the midst of it, and then the gathering happened.
Yeah.
And then you just see a massive breakout. Like,
that would have been terrible.
It was pretty good timing, I guess, considering it was, like, a month before shit really hit the fan. But, yeah.
Let's go to 24. What do you got?
Kobe again. I mean, with Kobe, pick 24, probably because it's one greater than 23. He always wanted to be better than Mike.
Yeah.
Another player I got to throw in there is Richard Jefferson. Super,
the GOAT.
Yeah, super random. But only because he dunks on people ferociously at like the most random times.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, he just doesn't even look or sound threatening either. But, as far as football goes, man, Darrell Revis Island.
Oh, yeah.
He's up there. And then Gilmore, the glue of the Patriots right now, dude.
Dude, he's the only reason why they might even make a push right now.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Someone was telling me to get rid of one of the McCourty brothers and Gilmore for a QB. And I literally told them to fuck off because we need that defense right now. If we're going to be playing the Chiefs and actually have a shot of winning, like who the fuck is going to be covering these Mahomes passes?
Yeah, especially with Hightower out right now too.
Yeah, like what the hell are we going to do? So you got to have one of the guys in the 99 club to actually, you know, make a difference because there's no way he's not.
Yeah. And I would also say Willie Mays was 24. And yes, we're still talking about NASCAR. Jeff Gordon was 24. Legend in that league.
Jeff Gordon, man. Okay.
You can't tell me you never saw, like, I had a 24 car. I didn't even watch NASCAR growing up, but you still had a 24 car. You know exactly, like when you see that car, you know exactly who's driving that car.
Probably the NASCAR goat, as far as I know. My NASCAR knowledge isn't too vast, but as far as I'm concerned, he's the NASCAR goat. I actually did have a pair of NASCAR Jeff Gordon gloves when I was younger, and I just wore them like for shits and gigs, you know, but I honestly, like I said, with the fire suits and all that, Jeff Gordon was that guy, good as fuck, super cool.
Yeah.
And he just rocked 24. It's like with Drew Brees, the 9 and his jersey, it just fit perfectly for Jeff Gordon. You can't really explain it.
Yeah. True.
Moving on to number 25. All right, man. We said him before, and I'll say him again. Vince Carter in his later years.
Okay, with the Suns?
Yeah, just because it was a matter of like showing people that you could still play in the NBA without just dunking on everyone.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also say old man to D-Rose on the Timberwolves and on the Pistons currently.
Yeah, D-Rose is super slept on nowadays. I feel like he's had such a weird career because he goes from being hot shit to people thinking he's overrated to people thinking he's super underrated now.
Yeah.
I wonder if he picked 25 to emulate Vince Carter's little old man stint. Who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows? You can only compare them so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah. Two big juicers, more juicers, Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire. Allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, there is no concrete evidence against Barry Bonds, I guess you could say. I don't know, there's no like concrete evidence against O.J. Simpson either.
Yeah.
He killed his wife. But like, yeah, those are good picks for sure. Not even just for like, okay, like, yeah, they were good as fuck, but juicers are hilarious.
Yeah.
They like stop juicing. I don't endorse it, but like nowadays, looking back on it, it's like kind of funny.
Yeah.
Making fun of stealing signs, though, I'm probably going to still be saying fuck you to the Astros in a decade or two.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. At least with juicing, it's somewhat with strength conditioning, so they have like less control with that. But like with the sign stealing, it's they consented to it, they agreed to it, and they just took that as, yep, that's how we're going to win the World Series.
Yeah, shout out Joe Kelly. Take his face out next time.
I got one more for 25 and then we're done here. Richard Sherman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with Richard Sherman, when I first saw his little outburst, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, don't talk shit.
Yeah, yeah, the Crabtree thing.
Yeah.
I was super confused. Yeah, like, look, man, I get it. You're hype. You just beat your rival Niners and you're going to the Super Bowl. And you're probably going to win because your defense is amazing or whatever. You're the best corner in the game at the time. But you just, like, yell in her face.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, but shout out Richard Sherman. I still think he's a great person. I think he's a great player. And I think that that was one of the most geek moments in sports history.
Yeah.
So shout out to him.
Well, that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on so you never miss an episode. Go follow us on all our personal social medias. Follow us on Instagram at Intentionally Foul. I'm Jacob.
I'm Cam.
And this has been an Intentionally Foul podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.